now, it's time for Big Town. The makers of Rinsol present Edward G. Robinson in Big Town. Mr. Robinson is heard as Steve Wilson, managing editor of the Illustrated Press. Ona Munson plays the part of Lorelei Kilbourne, Steve's charming assistant. On this particular morning, they met for breakfast at their favorite cafe, lingered long over an extra cup of coffee, and arrived late at the office of the Illustrated Press.
Well, think of the example I'm setting my hard-working force getting in at this hour.
Well, face them and get it over with. Go on, open the door and barge right through the city room just as if you were early instead of late.
What goes on here?
Oh, you heard. Your staff is standing in a circle doing tongue twisters.
Hey, what gives out here anyway? What is this, a newspaper office or a nut house?
Uncle Steve! Hello, Uncle Steve!
Well, Susie, Peter, what are you two doing here?
We came to see you. You kissed him twice.
Okay. Lorelei, these are Don Parker's kids, Susie and Peter.
Hello, Pete. Hello, Susie.
Hello.
How old are you?
I'm 6. How old are you?
Oh. Well, I had it coming.
She's 21. All ladies are just 21, except grandmothers. They're just over 21. What do you kids mean by upsetting my staff so early in the morning?
It's not early, it's late. You ought to be ashamed of yourself, Uncle Steve. Mommy's waiting in your office.
Well, gosh, I'll go right in. Boys, amuse these two Indians, will you? Come on, Lorelei, I want you to meet Sally Parker. She's a great girl.
She's got a great pair of kids.
Hello, Sally.
Well,
I'm sorry you had to wait.
I'm so glad you got here. I tried to get your house, but your line was busy.
Oh, yes, I had a couple of long-distance calls. This is Lorelei.
How do you do?
Hello, Sally.
I've heard a great deal about you.
Well, not as much as I've heard about you and your wonderful husband, the one and only Dr. Donald Parker.
Who, that old stick in the mud? Do you think they could get him to take a drink at the reunion last night? Oh, no, not him. One of his lady patients had a bad kidney, so he couldn't drink.
Well, Steve, I just had to see you. I couldn't stand it any longer. Don didn't come home last night.
What?
When I woke up this morning, he wasn't there. I phoned all the places I could think of. I thought you might have some idea because you took him to the reunion.
Oh, yes, and I was going to drive him home, too. But he's a patient, some lady who had a relapse.
Oh, yes, that's old Mrs. Grayson.
That's right, Mrs. Grayson. Well, I dropped him near her house. He said he'd take a cab home from there. Oh, well, maybe she was worse and he stayed all night.
No, I called her house. He never got there.
But that's impossible. I tell you, I left him right on the corner.
Steve, something's happened to Don.
Oh, but I don't see
how... No, I wouldn't worry. There's so many things that could detain a doctor.
Yes, but he'd phone, wouldn't he? Oh, Steve, you know how considerate Don is.
Yes, and I know how absent-minded he is, too. He probably thinks he did phone. I'll bet right now he's got some poor devil on the table extracting his appendix and $500.
Oh, I hate to act like this, but, Steve, we've got to do something. I can't just sit here and talk about it.
Well, all right, Sally, if it'll make you feel any easier. Foster, get me Captain Carroll at police headquarters.
Yes, Mr. Wilson, right away.
Carroll's a friend of mine. He'd tell us the sensible way to go about this.
I know just how you feel, Sally, but you'll find he's all right.
Oh, I admit I'm a fool about him. You see, we waited so long to get married. All those years he was interning. Oh, Steve, if anything were to happen to Donna, I don't know what I'd do.
Hello, Captain Carroll? Oh, well, this is Steve Wilson speaking. Oh, fine, thanks. Captain, a friend of mine, Dr. Donald Parker, forgot to check in at his house last night, and his wife here is worried. He's about 5'11", dark, around my age. Is that close enough, or do you want my guilty secret? Well, now, let me see. He had on a dark blue suit. Is that right, Sally?
Yes, and a white shirt.
White shirt, yes.
Blue knit tie.
That's right, blue knit tie.
Brown shoes.
Brown shoes.
Nothing in his pocket but
nothing
a pipe.
Nothing in his pocket but a pipe. All right, thanks, Captain. I'll hold on. He's ordering a checkup right now. You say you'd be surprised if you knew the number of persons who turn up missing every day. Why, here in Big Town... Yes, Captain? Oh, no. Don's no trouble of any kind. He's a sane, normal person. Crazy about his wife and his two wonderful kids. Well, he's very successful. A favorite with all his patients. They even pay the bills he sends them. You know, he was laughing about that very thing when I dropped him off last night on Maple Street near the park. Yes, on Maple. What? No.
Steve, what is it?
All right, Captain, I'll wait.
Well, what did he say?
Oh, he's checking with another department.
Well, if anything had happened to the doctor, Sally, you'd be the first to know. Somebody'd notify you.
Oh, no. He had no identification with him. You remember, Steve, when you honked your horn outside the house last night?
Yes.
Well, Don dashed out without his wallet or his driver's license or anything. I found them afterwards on the bureau.
Yes, Captain, I'm here. Yes? Well, is that all they could tell you? I see. Yes, Captain, I got it. Thanks.
What is it? Something's happened to Don. I can tell it by your face. Steve!
Oh, no, no, Sally. I was disappointed because the captain couldn't give me anything definite. But he'll keep on looking.
Well, Steve, you're sure Don's all right, aren't you?
Of course. Now, you go on home with the kids. That's
all right. But, Steve, if you should hear anything, you'll let me know, won't you?
You can depend on that. If there's any news, I'll bring it over myself.
Oh, thanks, Steve. Thanks. Goodbye, Lorelei.
Goodbye, Sally.
Oh, Susie. Come on.
What did Captain Carroll really tell you? Where are you going?
To the morgue.
Oh, that poor girl.
I can't believe it. I can't believe it. Last night, I left him laughing. And now there's something lying there on it.
Wait, I'll go with you.
No, no, if it's down, I'd rather take it alone.
Well, isn't there anything I can do?
Yes, you go over and stay with Sally. I'm afraid she's going to need someone.
Oh, Steve, I'm so glad you got here.
Where's Sally?
Upstairs.
And the kids?
They're in the nursery. Steve, was it Don?
Yeah.
Oh, those poor babies. Who did it?
I don't know. A hit-and-run driver. Left him there to die. By the time he was found, he was too late. Let's find Sally.
Oh, what are you going to tell her?
I don't know. I don't know.
Who's there? Don? Oh, thank heaven.
No, it's Steve.
Oh, come in, Steve. You've got some news?
Sally.
Oh, where is he? Where's Don? Is he all right?
Sit down, Sally.
What is it? Oh, no. Nothing's happened to Don.
Now, Sally, darling, you've got to be strong.
Oh, yes, I know. I'm strong. What happened, Steve? Tell me.
Well, Don was run over by a car while he was crossing the street.
Oh, but he's still alive, isn't he? He's still alive. He's not... Just tell me he's not dead. Oh, Steve. Oh, no.
No, don't, Sally, please.
Oh, where is he? I want to see him.
Well, not now, Sally. Later.
He's not dead. Not Don. Not my Don. I want to see him, I tell you. I want to see him.
Well, you can't, dear. It's better to remember him the way he was.
Oh, no. No, this couldn't happen to us. It couldn't. We've always tried to be good people. You know, Don. He was so good to everybody. He never hurt a living thing. Well, Steve, you know that.
Yes, I know.
No, I don't believe it. It's not true. Oh, tell me it isn't true.
Oh, Sally, don't let go. You've got to hang on.
Hang on to what? What have I got to hang on to with Don gone? What have I got to live for?
Mommy, Susie can say it. Listen. Peter Piper picked a pickle, pickle peppers. Peter Piper picked a... Mommy. Mommy. What's the matter? Go find Daddy, Uncle Steve. He won't let Mommy cry.
I tell you, Captain, it was the toughest thing I ever had to do. Last night he was alive, laughing, and now all the life is smashed out of him. His wife and babies there needn't look at him.
It sure is tough. Happening all over the country, every day. Every 8 hours, somebody's life is blotted out by a hit-and-run driver. Every 27 minutes, some pedestrian is struck by a hit-and-run car. Every 16 minutes, someone dies because of reckless driving.
Yes, but if that driver had only stopped and taken down to the hospital right away, he might have had a chance.
Yes, but at the hospital, they'd have taken the man's name and his license number. Hit-and-run drivers don't take that chance.
I can understand that accidents happen, but to leave your victim lying there, knowing that he might die. But it takes a special kind of coward to run away at a time like that. That's the lowest form of bestial stupidity a man could be guilty of.
I know how you feel, Steve.
Well, what are you doing about it, Captain?
Well, so far, we've collected some fragments of a headlight. We found an almost obliterated tire track at the corner where Parker was killed. And there's a trace of paint on the coat he wore. From these, the laboratory will be able to tell us the make of the car.
And then what have you got? Well,
of course, all routine inquiries are being made.
Well, that's not good enough. For you, this is just another hit-and-run case, another number in the files. But to me, it's not a number. It's a life. Those babies can't ever have another father. That girl waited for years for Dan Parker. They built a fine life together. And you talk about routine inquiries.
We're doing our best, Steve. In a case like this, there's very little evidence to work with. Death roars out of the night, strikes and disappears. There's seldom any witnesses.
But surely somebody in the community, somewhere, heard or saw something.
Maybe they did, but if they don't come forward and tell us...
Well, then I'm going to make them come forward. This is one time when death roaring out of nowhere into nowhere is going to be dragged into the spotlight.
now for the second half of Big Town. Returning you to Big Town, we find that the Illustrated Press has been running a red-hot campaign to smoke out the hit-and-run driver who killed Don Parker. Using the tremendous power of his newspaper and radio station, Steve has stirred public opinion until all Big Town is hunting for the killer.
Extra, extra, read all about the car that killed Dr. Parker, all about the murder car.
Oh, paper boy, what kind of a car was it?
A Blue Hermes, lady.
Say, it's a swell car. I hope they get him.
Extra, extra, first clue in Big Town murder. 1940, Blue Hermes.
Good afternoon, Illustrated Press.
Hello, I have some information about the Parker murder. Could I speak to Mr. Wilson?
One moment, please. I'll connect you.
Steve Wilson speaking.
This is Frank J. Mitchell. I live on Maple Street, Big Town Apartments, right near the corner where Dr. Parker was killed. I believe my wife heard that accident Sunday night.
Well, thank you, Mr. Mitchell. May I interview your wife?
Why, sure, anytime.
Yes, I heard brakes screeching and a crash about 2 o'clock Sunday night.
Well, did you look out the window?
No. I don't like to get mixed up in such things.
Well, a man was lying there, dying. You might have saved his life.
We've got a police force, haven't we?
Yes, but if we don't help them to stop this reckless driving, you and I might be the next victim.
Well, anyway, we've got the time of the accident. Thank you, Mrs. Mitchell. Come on, Laura.
Just a minute, Mr. Wilson.
Yes?
I found a bottle on my lawn.
A bottle?
Yes, the morning after the accident.
What kind of a bottle?
Well, the label said Bumblebee Brandy. They sell it at the Bumblebee Inn, a roadhouse about half a mile from here.
Where is the bottle?
I threw it away. I don't want to get mixed up in this case. I believe in minding my own business.
Well, don't you recall anybody who left here around 2 o'clock Sunday night with a bottle of your brandy? Somebody who drove off in a Blue Hermes car? They may have been drunk.
Listen, mister, people come to the Bumblebee for a good time. A lot of them are tight when they leave. I don't keep track of them.
In spite of the fact that they might go out and kill someone?
Well, if people are stupid enough to drink when they're driving, that's not my funeral.
And thank you. You're a lot of help. Come on, Laura.
Well, that's that.
Yes, I believe in minding my own business. It's not my funeral. That's all it means to them. Get in, Laura.
Oh, we're all to blame, Steve. We don't face the truth.
Yes, I know. I'm as guilty as the rest. Took something like this to open my eyes. I'll never have a peaceful night's sleep if this killer goes free.
How can he live with himself knowing he's killed another man? Oh, but then I suppose it's old-fashioned to expect him to have a conscience.
Well, I'm going to be his conscience. I'll give him no rest. My voice is going to hunt him out and tell him the truth about himself.
Press radio station, bringing you the voice of Mr. Steve Wilson in the first of a series of public meetings on the hit-and-run murder of Dr. Parker. Mr. Wilson.
Citizens of Big Town, the killer is loose among us, and we've got to find him. He may never kill again, but if we let him get away with this one murder, we're inviting other cowards to hit-and-run and save their own skins. We've got to drive home the fact that no matter how far we run or where we hide, we have to pay for taking a human life. This murderer thinks he's safe. In our city has a million eyes and ears, and some of them have seen and heard things that are sure to trap him. Don't think that your bit of information is too small, too unimportant. Every tiny link will add to the chain of evidence which will finally betray him. So if you have any information that will help, please call the Illustrated Press. Do it now.
Good evening, Illustrated Press.
Tell Mr. Wilson the Associated Women's Clubs are deeply interested in solving this murder, and we're going to help him.
Thank you. Good evening, Illustrated Press.
Tell Wilson to do something about the crazy drivers and try to beat the red lights. They're all potential killers.
Thank you. Illustrated Press, good evening.
We've got Scott looking for clues.
Thank you.
Affiliated church group. Tell Mr. Wilson we're behind him.
Thank you.
We got the number of a Blue Hermes car.
Thank you.
Tomorrow night, ladies and gentlemen, I'll be back to report the progress we've made in solving Big Town's most vicious, most important murder. Listen in, Big Town, tomorrow night at this time. And you too, Mr. Murderer. Listen in. Listen in.
Good evening, Illustrated Press.
I want to speak to Steve Wilson.
Just a moment. I'll connect you.
Steve Wilson speaking.
Listen, Wilson, you're a liar. We're not murderers. It was an accident.
Hold on a minute, will you? I can't hear you. I hear you very well. Where till I get a better connection? Oh, I get the police and have them face this call.
Hello, go ahead.
It's true. We hit that man with our car, but it was an accident. We stopped the car out. We thought he was dead. We didn't know what to do. Why don't you leave us alone? Why do you keep harping on him? We've been punished enough.
Who are you? Hello, hello. Why don't you answer?
He hung up. Did you get the police?
Foster's got Captain Carroll on the wire now. He says he'll try to track down whoever made the call.
Well, that's not going to be easy, but the killer has got a conscience, Lorelei, and we won't let him forget it. People of Vicktown, I have some new evidence for you. In our radio station audience here tonight is a taxi driver who has volunteered to tell what he knows. He's standing at the microphone now. Go ahead, Mr. Welch.
Will I talk now?
Yes, right in here. A little closer, please.
Right here.
That's it.
Well, I was cruising past the Bumblebee Inn Sunday night, going on 2 o'clock, when a girl called me. She was having an argument with two young fellas who wanted to get into a car.
Well, can you describe that car?
It was a blue Hermes, brand new roadster. The girl had on a brown fur coat, and her name was Marcia.
Well, how do you know that was her name?
Well, I heard one of the fellas call after it. Don't be a fool, Marcia. She left my cab near the Big Town Hotel.
Well, thank you, Mr. Welch. You've given us a real clue.
That's right.
Are you tuned in on this broadcast, Mr. Murderer? We know now that there were two of you, that you're young, and that you have a friend named Marcia. Don't you realize that someday, soon, your doorbell will ring, and a policeman will ask to see that brand new roadster of yours? Are you listening, Mr. Murderer? You listened last night and you phoned me. You said I lied, that you weren't a murderer. Well, if you're a human being, if you're a man, why don't you come forward like a man and get this thing off your mind?
I will. I'm here. Let me alone, Marcia. I can't stand it anymore. I want to tell the whole thing.
That's the girl, Mr. Wilson. I recognize her now.
I'm Herbert Collins. I phoned you. I'll tell you what happened.
Please, ladies and gentlemen, let the man talk. Here, tell it to this radio audience and through this microphone to Big Town.
Never mind the microphone. I'm not a murderer. And neither was Jim. There was never a finer boy than my kid brother, Jim. He just graduated from law school with honors. He passed his bar exams. He was coming up before the character committee on Monday. That's why we went to the Bumblebee to celebrate, Jim and my fiancé, Marcia, and me. We had some drinks, sure. It was nearly 2 o'clock when they were ready to close the bar, so we bought a bottle of brandy and went out to the car.
Oh, don't be such a big brother, Herb.
Ah, come on, Jim. You've got to go before the character committee tomorrow.
Well, I'll get you home before the clock strikes.
You're not going to drive, Jim.
Why not?
You've had too much to drink.
It's my car, isn't it? My party.
Oh, he's all right, Marcia. I've seen him drive when he was a lot tighter than this.
If you want to humor him, it's all right with me. You've done it all your life. But I'm not taking any chances. Taxi!
Okay, baby. Oh, come on, Marcia. Don't spoil the party.
There's no party for me to get myself smashed up. I'm taking the taxi home. Good night.
Oh, Marcia, don't be a fool.
Oh, let her go.
She'll get over it. Come on, Herb.
No, but wait a minute.
Hop in, will you? Hop in.
I'll get you home, okay?
You know I like Marcia.
And I hope you're going to be very happy with it. Very happy. Because you deserve it, Herb.
You know, you're the greatest little brother a fella ever had.
You know what I think of it, don't you?
Thanks, kid. Look, you're on the wrong side of the street. Take it easy.
Nothing out this late. Hey, I still got that bottle. Have a little drink?
No, thanks.
All right, I can use it. Here goes. Here's to you and Marcia.
Jim, look out. That man!
Herb. I didn't see him. Herb, what are we going to do?
Easy, kid.
He's dead. Here, feel his heart. Herb, he's dead.
Come on, give me a hand. We'd better get him to a hospital.
Yeah, sure. Wait a minute, Herb. The character committee tomorrow. They'll say I was drunk. I'll never get admitted.
But we can't leave him here.
He's dead, isn't he? Just put him on the grass. Somebody will come along and see him. We can't do him any good now.
That's a crime, Jim. If they ever find out...
But they won't. How can they? Look, the houses are all dark and there isn't a shade up. Nobody saw a thing.
I know, but we can't do that.
Oh, Herb, don't spoil my whole life.
Monday night, I was in my room waiting for Jim to come home.
Is that you, Jim?
Come on in. I'm not asleep. I waited up for you till midnight.
How'd you make out?
I've been admitted. Sterling Carrick. And honor to the bar. Where have you been? Walking the streets. The dark streets. Herb, did you see the illustrated press?
Yes.
He wasn't dead. If we'd taken him to the hospital, he'd be alive.
We didn't know.
I murdered him. I'm a murderer, Herb.
Oh, it's my fault. More than yours, kid. I'm older. But it's done now, and there's nothing we can do about it.
Go on, kid. Go get some rest, huh?
Rest? I'll never...
never have an hour's rest as long as I live. Jim. Jim, come back here. I want to talk to you. Jim, do you hear me? What the devil's my dressing gown?
I guess I better let him work it out himself.
You see, Mr. Wilson, I thought he'd just gone out there to be alone. I lay there in the dark for nearly an hour, waiting for him to come back. I opened the window and looked out. Then I heard the motor of the car running behind the closed doors of the garage. Jim! Jim! Good Lord, that crazy kid. Jim! Jim, why have you locked this garage door? Open the door, Jim. Open this garage. Do you hear me? What are you trying to do? Help somebody. Help me break down this door. Jim! Jim! Oh, no, Jimmy. Somebody help me. Help! Oh, Jim! Jim! Whatever they do to me won't be as bad as what I've done to myself. As long as I live, I'll never get that man's blood off my hands. I'll never be able to forget that wife, that little kid. The girl I love, she can't even look at me. See it in her eyes. Murderer. Murderer.
Herb, no.
It's true, isn't it?
I guess so. But it was my fault, too. I could have stopped. I let him go out and kill because I said, I'm not my brother's keeper.
Ladies and gentlemen, we've solved this tragic case. But the problem... your problem still remains. People of Big Town, people of America, what are you going to do about it? Continue to shut your eyes and pretend that only what happens within your own walls is your business? Or realize that the street is your street, every city, and this country, your business, your responsibility?
In 1940, it is estimated that reckless driving will take the lives of 34,880 people. 1,160,000 will be injured. $1,500,000,000 will be lost in property damage.
Common courtesy, common sense, and a little consideration for the rights of others could cut those frightful figures in half. People of America, what are you going to do about it?
Tonight's Big Town Show was arranged and directed by Leith Stevens. This broadcast was produced under the direction of Crane Wilford. All the characters and all the places named in Big Town are fictitious. Any similarity to persons or places is purely coincidental.